Dee Knapp was asleep when her husband, Gary, stumbled drunkenly into their white frame house after a night out drinking. Bracing for trouble, Dee jumped up and ran to the kitchen. Gary, muscular and compact, with short black hair above a long face, was a decent fellow when sober, a brute when drunk. "Get me dinner," he shouted as he wobbled toward the kitchen, and Dee scrambled to turn the electric stove on and throw leftovers into a pan. But she wasn't fast enough, and he hit her with his fist. A lithe brunette in her early 30s, with shoulder-length hair and calloused hands, Dee realized that this was one of those times she was destined to be a punching bag. Devoted to her 5 children, she especially hated to be beaten by Gary because of the loathing for their father this engendered in them. "Dinner," Gary roared again. "Get me dinner." He grabbed his loaded .22 rifle and pointed it at her menacingly. She bolted past Gary and out the front door into the night. Gary's shouting had awoken the children upstairs. "Mom!" Farlan, her eldest son, hissed from the second floor window as she ran around the side of the house. Dee looked up and he threw down a sleeping bag. She grabbed it in midair and ran into the protective darkness of their 2.5-acre property, seeking a place to spend the night hiding in the tall grass, waiting for Gary to sleep off his rage. "Damn that woman," Gary cursed from inside the house. Clutching his .22, he lunged out the front door, then looked wildly into the darkness. A white wooden Pentecostal church was on one side, one of 2 churches serving the tiny hamlet of Cove Orchard, Oregon. Beyond the church was Highway 47, leading to the small town of Yamhill, 3 miles to the south. Dee was sheltering in the darkness somewhere between the church and the neighbor's fence line. Gary lifted the rifle to his shoulder and fired off a volley of shots into the field where his wife was cowering. Dee stiffened, hugging the ground. The children listened, terrified. Helpless and furious, Farlan clenched his fists and vowed to himself that someday he would kill his dad. In the field, 70 feet away, with no trees to hide behind, Dee held her breath as bullets smacked into the ground nearby. This happened from time to time, and Dee knew that her husband would soon tire of shooting into the night. Finally, Gary stumbled back into the house and ordered a sullen Farlan downstairs to cook dinner for him. Dee could hear all this from her hiding spot, for Gary didn't know how to speak softly. She gradually felt her heartbeat return to normal. She spread the sleeping bag and lay down inside it, listening to her husband's curses from the house, hoping that he wouldn't beat Farlan, praying that the other kids would stay quiet upstairs. It was another violent, tumultuous evening, but strangely, Dee says that she was still buoyed by hope that day in 1973, for despite the fear and violence, she believed that in some ways life truly was getting better, especially for her kids. Like her husband, Dee had been raised in a cramped household without electricity or plumbing. The youngest of 10 children, she had grown up poor after her father, a construction worker, died when she was 9 years old. Dee had dropped out of school in 5th grade, while Gary had had virtually no education and could barely write his name. She and Gary had started their married life as migrant farm workers, or fruit tramps, following the harvests around California and Oregon, paid according to how many strawberries or beans they picked, living in shacks without electric light or running water. As of 1960, only 1 migrant worker child in 500 completed grade school. Dee wanted better for her children, and she announced that when their kids were old enough for school, the family was going to settle down. That's how they ended up in Cove Orchard, population 50, in northwestern Oregon, where the grasses of the Willamette Valley merge into the forests of the coastal range, where fields of grass seed, golden wheat, and Christmas trees, and orchards abounding with apples, cherries, and hazelnuts blanket the earth to the horizon. Gary found regular work and at one point landed a good union job laying pipe, mostly for sewer lines, earning a solid income even if he spent too much of it in the bars in Yamhill and nearby Gaston. Dee had a steady job driving tractors on a hazelnut farm near Yamhill. She couldn't afford daycare, so she brought along her youngest, Keelan, a toddler, and kept him on her lap as she worked.